Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
He loves the Lord today.
Amen. Amen.
And we want to lift our hands, just tell him that we love him.
Subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We're going to skip down to chapter number 6, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. The scriptures we just read was Paul's charge to the wives and his charge to the husbands. Now we're going to read about Paul's charge to the children. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Now here's another charge to the fathers. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." I want to talk to us today about fathers. Fathers. You can be seated. If we were to sum up everything that Paul told the man in the scriptures that we read, it would be summed up in this statement. "Men, you are the head of your families. You are to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And bring your children up in a godly home. Teach them the ways of God. You are responsible for your families.
Amen.
Amen.
That's everything summed up that we read. If you was to go to the Webster's Dictionary and look up the definition of father, you would find that one of the definitions of father is simply a man who has begotten a child. And a man can be identified as a father just by simply one act of procreation and nothing else. He is still identified as a father. And Father's Day today is a day of celebration, honoring fathers and celebrating fatherhood, celebrating and honoring paternal bonds, and the influence that fathers have in society. This celebration that we're experiencing and celebrating today was brought by the Spanish and the Portuguese to Latin America on March 19th, years and years and years ago. And in fact, in Latin America, March 19th is still the official day of Father's Day. And after many, many, many failed attempts, Father's Day was made a permanent national holiday in the United States when President Richard Nixon signed it into law in 1972. So it hasn't been around as an official holiday in the United States for very long, but it's here. So since today is Father's Day, I think it's appropriate that we honor the fathers in this place. I want to give honor to the fathers in this place. And just make them aware of the influence that you have.
Right. Amen.
On society.
Right. Right.
Make you aware of the influence that you have on your family. And make you aware that you have a responsibility placed upon you by the Lord. And I told you today wasn't going to be popular in the world's eyes. It's a dying message, what I'm going to fix to talk about. But I still believe it's right in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
And I still believe it's right in the church.
Right.
I still believe it's right. And I want to go back today to the beginning of time, all the way back in the book of Genesis and the Old Testament, the book of beginnings. And I want to start there, and I want to talk about what was expected of a father way back then, when the Lord instituted man, or created man, and began human life on earth. He had a plan. And as we look at these expectations that we're going to be talking about today that's been placed on fathers by the Lord, I want you to compare them in your mind to what is expected now in the world, not in the church, but in the world. In Genesis chapter number 2, verses 18 through 24, we read about the first family that was to ever live on the earth. Family was the first social structure that God ever produced. He formed the first family by joining Adam and Eve together as husband and wife. Notice it's wife, not wives. I just wanted to throw that in. Only one wife was given to Adam by God. And in verse number 18 of chapter 2, we find where God created the woman as a helper for Adam. The Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." She was created to help her husband, and he was to care for his wife And then later on in the future, he was to care for the family that was to come. And he was to accept the responsibility that God had placed upon him. The word husband in the Hebrew means to dominate, to rule, but it can also be translated as master. Now, this is all Bible. This is all Bible. You can look it up yourself, and if you want to prove what I'm telling you today, but it could also be translated as master. What this meant was the man was the head of the family. Adam had a responsibility for the well-being of his family. It was not left up to Eve. It was not left up to the oldest child. It was not left up to anybody else. It was all on Adam's shoulders. He was responsible for the well-being of the family. And when you talk about being responsible for the well-being of a family, it means more than just providing food. It means more than just providing shelter.
Right.
It's more than just providing clothing for your family. It means also to assume the spiritual responsibility of your family. It means to make sure that you are leading your family in the direction that's going to lead to eternal life. Lead them in a direction that's going to take them and escape the judgments of this world when God returns, when Jesus returns to this world to call his church out of here. The responsibility of a father is to make sure that his family's soul is saved. It is to make sure that they are fulfilling the plan and the law of God.
Oh, yes, Jesus.
So that when God comes back for his church, God is going to find some men's families that are living, dedicated, committed,
yes,
and consecrated,
right,
to the Lord.
Amen.
Filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Baptized in the name
That's
of Jesus
right.
Christ. And living a godly, separated life from this world.
Right.
And obeying the pastor, the man of God.
Amen.
This was the spiritual leadership responsibility that was placed on the man way back in the beginning. In other words, what this means, if you read between the lines, that if a man expected his family to be saved, if a man expected his family to obey the laws of God and to love the Lord, then the man had to first be an example for his family to follow.
Right.
He could not say, as many fathers in this world today say, "Do as I say, not as I do." But God had placed the responsibility on the father and on the man, that if you want your children and you want your family to be saved,
yes,
then you better be the first partaker.
Yes.
You better be the one that shows the example to your family.
Yes.
Because you are the one that your family is following.
Right.
That's right.
It meant that the father functioned as the family priest. That was the responsibility that was laid on him by God way back when it all started. He was to act as the family priest. He was not to rely on anybody else to make sure that his family was obeying the law and the word of the Lord. But he had to make sure for himself that his family was fulfilling and obeying the law of God. He had to act as the family priest and make sure that his family was following the oracles, the laws, the commandments, and the statutes of the Lord. He was expected to lead his family in observing various religious rites, such as the Passover. Amen. I thought about today in today's world. It is still the responsibility of a father to make sure that we get our families to church. It is still the responsibility of a man to make sure that our families are not only at church, but they're there on time.
Right.
And they're there, amen, worshiping the Lord. Not taking it for granted. Not taking it lightly. Not taking it as just another service that we are obligated to attend. But somewhere, it is the responsibility of the Father to put a love for the Lord down inside the heart of His family. And to make sure that they put God first in everything that they do. Because I'm telling you today, God is a jealous God. And He's not going to accept Him in second place in anybody's life in this place. God is not going to play second fiddle to anybody in this world today. Either He is number one or He's number 14 or number 17. He's last on the list if He's not number one. And it is the responsibility of the Father to make sure that His children and His family, amen, are observing, amen, church time, are observing the church services, amen. The father was expected to convey all the laws of God to his family. He couldn't pass it off on to the priest. He couldn't pass it off, amen, on to the Levites. He couldn't pass it off on to his neighbor. But it was the responsibility of the father to set his family down and say, listen, this is the law of the Lord. This is what is expected of you. This is what is expected of our family. This is what the Lord expects out of us. And it was the responsibility of the Father to make sure that they understood and that they knew what the laws and the statutes of the Lord was and the expectations that God had placed upon the family. Training the children the right way to go, as stated in Proverbs chapter 22 and 6. When it said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This was also the responsibility of the father. Amen. It was his duty, his obligation, to sit his son down and say, listen, amen, I don't care what your heart desires of this world. I don't care what you want to be in this world. My number one responsibility to you, my number one obligation to you, is to train you up in the ways of the Lord and make sure that you understand what God expects of you. Amen. It does no good, amen, for our children, amen, to be successful in this world, amen, if their soul is lost and on their way to hell. But it's the responsibility of the father, amen, to make sure that their children are directed. It's to make sure that they're guided in the right direction, amen, in a way that's going to be pleasing and satisfying to God, and in a way that's going to establish their future in the Lord. It was his responsibility to make sure that his children received that training and instruction, so that when he was old, he would not depart from the laws of the Lord. And a great emphasis was placed upon the father to diligently teach and to diligently train the children all about God and who He is. In Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verses 1 through 9, we read that these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that ye mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee,
and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. It was a responsibility of the Father to make sure that his children knew that our God is only one.
Amen. Right. Amen.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. You know who put them there. Amen. It wasn't the neighbor. It wasn't the children across the way. It was the Father that was to put those words and establish them in the heart of his family and in the heart of his children. And then he said in these words, or in verse number 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gates. It was taken so seriously by the fathers back then, that they was to take a frontlet, which was basically a leather pouch that encased the law of the Lord inside the pouch. They would take that pouch called a frontlet, and they would put a headband to it, and they would strap it around their head, and it would wind up right here between the eyes of the wearer. And it was to remind them that wherever you go, and that whatever you do, and whatever situation you're in, remember the law of the Lord that's between your eyes. Don't ever forget that whatever you do, whatever situation you get yourself involved in, you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. There's not room for anything else in your heart. There's not room for heroes in your heart. There's not room for sports figures in your heart. But there is only to be one thing in your heart. You are to love the Lord your God with everything that's on the inside of you, and not put him second in your life. And it was the responsibility of the Father to make sure that they understood this. It was to make sure that they understood that we don't serve two gods. We don't serve three gods. Right. There's not a Trinity. Amen. There's not a Trinity in the Bible.
Right.
The Bible does not even mention the word Trinity. Yeah. But the only thing I find in the Bible is, hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one Lord. The only thing I find in the Bible is John chapter 10, verse 30, where Jesus said that I and my Father are one. The only thing that I find in the Bible is Colossians 2:9, that in him, not them, but in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. Bodily. The only scripture I find in the Bible, and it is James 2:19, where James said, thou believest that there is one God. The devils also believe and tremble. And but I'm here to tell you today that it's the Father's responsibility to make sure our children know that there is only one God. And there is only one God to serve. And Jesus is his name for them. This world has many false religions today. This world is preaching anything you want to hear. Amen. Just to get you to sign up and be a member of their church. And just to collect an offering and a tithe from an individual. They're not concerned about your soul. They're not concerned about your spiritual well-being. They're not concerned about where you spend eternity. The only thing they're looking at is a number and a dollar amount associated with it. But can I tell you today that there is only one God? There's only one God.
Right.
And it's our responsibility, amen, to make sure that our children understand this and know this. When my boys was little, amen, before they would go to bed at night, I would make them quote the scripture, James 2:19. I would have them quote Israel or Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4. I would have them quote John chapter 10 and verse 30. Amen. Colossians 2, 9. I would have them quote all these scriptures because I wanted them to know that there's not a Trinity. There is not three gods in this world. There is only one God, and Jesus is His name. I took the responsibility of raising my children. Amen. I took it pretty seriously. In fact, one brother in our church, amen, made a comment to my dad, my pastor, and said, listen, amen, he's always so stern when it comes to his family. It was because I'd taken the responsibility that God had placed upon me. I took it serious. I didn't want my family to go to hell. I didn't want them to wind up on the wrong side of judgment. It's going to take, amen, a discipline, and it's going to take a knowledge and a revelation from you of knowing who God is and loving God with everything that you've got. This was so important to the writer of Proverbs. Amen. When he said it was the responsibility of the father to hand out punishment and hand out correction when necessary. You see, this world doesn't teach that anymore today. This world doesn't teach that, amen, that it takes correction and discipline, amen, for your child to obey and toe the line. But the Word of God said that it's our responsibility. It doesn't matter what the world says today. I'm telling you, that this book still works. Amen. If you just apply it and follow it and obey it, this book still works. If you want to be saved and you want your family saved, it was so important, amen, when it came to correction and punishment for the child, that the writer of Proverbs said in chapter 13, verse 24, that he that spareth the rod hates his children, hates his own son, hates his family, because he's not loving enough to guide them and direct them and steer them in the right way. It takes discipline sometimes from a father.
Right.
And then Paul wrote again in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 through 8, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. In other words, you, amen, are a child without a parent, a child without, amen, a parent to correct you and guide you. It was the Father's responsibility to make sure that all this was done. You read that it was a father's responsibility to defend his family's rights before the judges. He was not to go in there alone, but the father was to defend them, make sure that they received the proper correction or the proper sentence or judgment and not receive it unfairly or improperly. But it was also the father's responsibility that he provide for his family. A father that did not provide for his family, I'm talking financially now, he was guilty of a serious offense, and he was shunned and mocked by society. We live in a world today where things are accepted more now than they used to be accepted even when I was a child, not that long ago. Things are accepted now, amen, that sometimes is totally contradictory and contrary to the word of the Lord and what God expected and laid out for the fathers to follow. But the father that did not provide for his own, Apostle Paul even said it, that he was worse than an infidel. Amen. A man that did not work and provide, amen, financial the stability and financial for his family. and make sure that his family was taken care of financially. He was mocked by society in the old times. He was even shunned and ridiculed as somebody, amen, that was an outcast to society because he refused to provide for his family. Amen. The responsibility that was placed upon a father by God. Amen. In this world that we live in today, you look at it, amen, and half the responsibilities that was expected by God, probably more than that, amen, is no longer expected, amen, by the families in this world today. But we live in a world today that says just live and let live. Amen. Somebody said in a big banner that was placed in a community there in Sacramento that it takes a whole community to raise a child. I disagree with that today. Amen. I think that what it takes to raise a child and to raise a family is somebody that's committed and somebody that's devoted and somebody that's full of the Holy Ghost. That's what it takes to raise a family, and that's what it takes to raise a child today.